Hello and welcome to a joint Giants Flash and A's Plus podcast. I'm Henry Schulman, the Giants beat reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle, and today you will hear a Zoom call featuring Dodgers manager Dave Roberts and Giants manager Gabe Kapler. They have selected the starting lineups and the top three starting pitchers for our Interstate 5 World Series to be played on the APBA or APBA simulation game. More than 100,000 readers of the Chronicle and Los Angeles Times voted and picked two 34-player teams of all-time greats who grew up in Northern or Southern California. Those teams will face off in a best-of-seven simulation later this month, and the results will be published in both papers. My co-host on the call was Jorge Castillo, the Dodgers beat writer for the Los Angeles Times. Joining us with Roberts and Kapler were Chronicle columnist Bruce Jenkins and Times assistant sports editor Houston Mitchell, who will manage the teams in the APBA simulation. You'll hear the entire Zoom call uninterrupted after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. This is going to be a lot of fun. We've all been trying to figure out fun ways to keep you all involved in baseball during the hiatus here. I am Henry Schulman. I am the Giants beat reporter, for the San Francisco Chronicle. And I'm the co-host. My co-host today is Jorge Castillo, who's the Dodgers beat writer for the LA Times. And then we have a distinguished group of people on the line here who we're gonna come up with the lineups and starting pitchers for a seven-game World Series pitting all the greats who grew up or were raised in the Bay Area or Northern California and all the greats who were raised or born in Southern California. And Jorge, why don't you start by letting us know who you have here from SoCal?
Yeah, so as Henry mentioned, my name is Jorge Castillo, Dodgers beat reporter for the LA Times. I'm here alongside Houston Mitchell, assistant sports editor here at the Times. We'll be managing the team once this gets going next week. It's a 34-man roster. Dave Roberts here today to pick the starting lineup, the three-man rotation. He thought about this long and hard. I know that for a fact. Different lineups depending on starting pitchers. He's all in, so this is going to be a great little project experience, something like Henry said, something different for you guys, an opportunity to maybe have some kind of semblance of baseball and an opportunity for Dave and Gabe to present some lineups. They haven't done that in a while, a couple months at least, right, from March 12th, March 11th. So a chance to do something a little different here to make it feel like it's baseball season again. And, a month and a half, we might actually have some real baseball. In the meantime, let's do this and have a little fun with it.
Okay. I also should point out, I have two people from Northern California who are going to represent Northern California for you. But myself, the writer who came up with this, Bruce Jenkins, and Gabe Kapler, the manager of the Giants, all of us are from Southern California. So there's something a little screwy about this right off the bat. It might be in the bag for SoCal here. So I have Giants manager Gabe Kapler, who is in his first year with the Giants and was supposed to exchange real lineup cards with Dave Roberts on March 26th in the season opener. And I also have Bruce Jenkins, my colleague at the Chronicle, a columnist. He's the representative from Malibu, used to be. Bruce is the one who kind of devised this whole series, the whole concept. And if you could just kind of briefly, Bruce, let us know what the genesis was and how this is going to work.
Well, with APBA, you every year you get seasons. You get the last season. I think I got my first season from my dad in 1960. So I'm playing along, seasons, and it's all great. And you can do things like, let's replay the 1989 World Series. Maybe there won't be an earthquake, stuff like that. But I got kind of tired of just the teams as they existed. I started thinking more like all-star teams. And APBA can create an awful lot of stuff for you. And I finally came up with this idea. What about the all-time Northern California against Southern California? Excuse me. Based on they grew up, not necessarily where they're born, but where they grew up, which gives you Jackie Robinson from Pasadena by way of Georgia and Frank Robinson, East Bay by way of Texas or wherever he's from. And it just evolved from there. I created the teams just kind of for me, And I was going to play John Shea on the phone. Next thing you know, we get the LA Times involved. We get APBA involved. We get Gabe Kapler and Dave Roberts involved. And it turned into this terrific thing that we're all excited about. And I think it's going to be fun.
And Houston, you have been an APBA player. You know all about this stuff, right?
I have. I've been playing since 1980. And they would be remiss if I didn't point out that if you call APBA to them, they will get mad at you. It's APA. And I've been playing for a long time, but no one's here to listen to me prattle on. I'm looking forward to any advice Dave can give me to make sure the Southern California team comes out ahead in this.
Okay, well, we got 100,000 people from both readers of the LA Times and San Francisco Chronicle who voted to create two 34-man teams with three players at each position, including a DH, plus I believe it was something like 10 pitchers and maybe 10 pitchers and 10 outfielders. So Dave and Gabe were graciously allowed are doing is they're going to pick the starting lineups for game one and the first three starting pitchers. And then Bruce and Houston are going to play the games, and then it'll all be done in one night, and we'll have stories in the paper and online saying who won. One thing for you fans who are on there is a Q&A button down on your screen somewhere. At the end of this, we're going to have fans ask questions of Gabe and Dave specifically about why they chose certain guys, what they think of their teams, things like that. Please, no questions about free agency and is he going to re-sign, all that sort of stuff. And you can ask the questions, and Alan, I believe, is going to call them, and then Jorge and I will ask our respective managers the questions for you. Right now, we're going to flip a coin to see who this is going to be a 2-3-2 format, just like the real world series. So we're going to flip a coin for the home field advantage. And Jorge, since I have the coin.
Have Dave do it. Have Dave do it. Heads or tails?
Dave, okay. Okay, Dave. Dave, who I'm covered, heads or tails?
Tails.
It is heads. So the Northern California team will be the home team. So as we do this, we'll get Dave's team first. And why don't we start with the starting pitchers for game one? Two really, really, really great pitchers. Dave, who do you have starting for the Southern California team in game one?
I'm going to go with Drysdale. Don Drysdale. Annie Myers Drysdale is a good friend of mine. But this is not a sentimental choice. I feel good about Drysdale starting game one.
Okay, and Gabe, this took a long time to figure out, but who's going to be your starting pitcher?
Yeah, we're gonna go with the big unit. We're gonna start Randy Johnson. The strikeouts were just too compelling, and figured it might make matching up a little bit more difficult with the lefty on the mound. And I know how clever Doc is with matching against lefties, but. Figured if we turned Eddie Murray around and make him hit from the right side and somehow avoid Christian Yelich, it made some sense to get the big unit out there. That was the move.
Okay, and what we're going to do first is we're going to go over this position by position first, and then at the end the managers will give us the batting orders. And what we'll do is starting with Jorge, we're gonna read the list of the players who won the election, who are on the team at each position, and then we'll ask the managers which one they picked and why. So, Jorge, if you wanted to start at first base, who were the three first basemen who were on the team?
Yeah, so the three choices Dave had to make. I'm not envious of his position here. Were Eddie Murray. So one thing to keep in mind here, guys, people watching, is this is from one specific season. You know, this isn't over the course of, of a guy's career. So Eddie Murray, 1982 Baltimore Orioles, hit .316 a year, 32 home runs. We got the Mark McGwire, obviously his 98 season, changed baseball, kept baseball, while some people argue, alive. 70 home runs that year, obviously. And then we got Wes Parker of the 1970 Dodgers. So those are Dave's three choices. And another reminder, he made his lineup specifically against the left-hander, Randy Johnson. So that's something else to keep in mind. You know, Dave was on it. So, Dave, yeah. Who'd you choose?
So, yeah, before you guys go crazy on Twitter, there is a DH also involved. So just keep that in mind. And Randy Johnson, as Gabe mentioned, strikeout guy, lethal on lefties. So my first baseman is going to be Eddie Murray.
Okay. And now for the Northern California team, I don't have the stats handy like Jorge. I'm not as prepared. But the choices here for the first base on the Northern California team, Willie Stargell from the 73 Pirates. As Jorge mentioned, it's one season. It's specifically the best season that these guys had in their career statistically. His choices were Willie Stargell, Keith of the 73 Pirates, Keith Hernandez of the 79 Cards, and Bill Buckner of the 1980 Cubs. And Gabe, you went with who?
Yeah, those are some really difficult choices. But Willie Stargell in his best year was an absolute animal. So this actually turned out to be a pretty easy choice. And he's going to slot right in the middle of our lineup, give us a chance to stagger some right left and make it a little bit more difficult to match up against.
Okay. Jorge, we got second base now.
Yeah. So Dave's choices were Jackie Robinson from the 49 Dodgers, Jeff Kent from the 2000 Giants, and Chase Utley from the 2006 Phillies.
Obviously, as Gabe mentioned, we all have some great choices. There's nothing wrong with any of those guys, but I chose the man from Pasadena City College, went to UCLA, and then went to Brooklyn, went to the Dodgers. So none other than Jackie Robinson.
Wow, I think he would have made a good bench guy, but okay, you're the manager.
He'd been good coming off the bench for sure.
Yeah, he would have looked good coming off, pinch running, steal a base. All right, for the Northern California team, the second baseman, and I'm actually reading these in order of how many votes they got among the 100,000 people who voted. But of course, the managers, Gabe and Dave, were free to pick whomever they want. They weren't bound by who got the most votes. Second base for Northern California, we have Joe Morgan from the 76 Reds. We have push 'em up Tony Lazzari from the 1929 Yankees. He was part of that great lineup with Garrick Ruth, all those guys. And then Dustin Pedroia from the Red Sox, who grew up in Woodland, which is a little town about an hour and a half northeast of San Francisco. So, Gabe?
Yeah, Henry, this one was pretty easy, too. It's Joe Morgan. People forget what an incredible, well-rounded player Joe Morgan is. I think you look at him, and he's a little bit undersized, but the dude could bash. Hits homers, gets on base, plays in the middle. Yeah, this one was easy as well.
Okay, we'll move along to shortstop. Jorge?
Yeah, so at shortstop, we got Ozzie Smith of the 87 Cardinals. Didn't hit a home run that year, but obviously plays great defense. Nomar Garcia-Parr from the 2000 Red Sox. The year hit 372. And then Alan Trammell of the 87 Tigers.
Love them all, but I went with Nomar. I think that you're talking about that starter for game one for the NorCal team and the unit. You got to try to find a way to slug that guy, and you're not going to put hits together against Randy. So Nomar, he might get a slider down and in and hit one into the seats.
If I can just barge in here, that number three choice was actually Robin Yount, MVP in 82.
Didn't have Robin Yount, Bruce. I had Alan Trammell, so –
Yeah, Robin, MVP 82.
I didn't know. Well, I didn't get that as an option, so blame Jorge, not me.
No, I didn't either. This is what I got. This is the email that I got. Apologies. Apologies, Dave.
Okay. We'll work this out if we can. But for the shortstop for the Northern Californians, I want to point out that the two people who just missed the cut are two guys who are very popular now, Brandon Crawford and Marcus Semien. They didn't make the cut for shortstop in the NorCal team. Gabe's choices were Troy Tulowitzki from the South Bay, Jimmy Rollins from the East Bay, and Joe Cronin from the 1930 Senators got some love here. Who's going to be the starting shortstop, Gabe?
Well, let's start with pointing out that I might get a little pushback from Craw on this match. He's going to be watching carefully here. But, yeah, this was too low for me. Although this was tough. J-Row – is such a good all-around baseball player and such an igniter at the top of the lineup. But here it was Tulo, just given the all-around player that he was at that time and the numbers he was putting up for the Rockies in a pretty friendly hitter environment.
Okay. Now we have the hot corner, third base.
So at third base, we got George Brett of the 1980 Royals, hit 390 that year. Eddie Matthews, 1953 Braves, and Nolan Arenado of the 2017 Rockies.
I went again, understanding that the big unit, I went Nolan Arenado. I think that George Brett, Matthews, tremendous players, Hall of Famers, but I think that if you're talking about 97, 98 with the slider that comes from, seems like the first base dugout. I've been in that box against that guy. Lefties don't slug him. So I think that you look at what Nolan does against left-handed pitching, gets on base and slugs him. So, and you're not going to find a better third baseman. So Nolan's going to get this start against the unit.
Okay. And Houston, if there's any way you can program Arenado to think he's facing Giants pitching, that will help your team immensely.
I'll do my best.
Okay. Gabe, we had three choices at third base here that the fans voted. Carney Lansford, Ken Caminiti, and Stan Hack from the 1938 Cubs.
Yeah, Henry, thank you. We went with Caminiti here. And again, this is, you know, kind of like Doc's lineup. He's got some guys that had huge years, and maybe if it was going for the entire career, he would have made different choices. I felt the same way. But with Caminiti, he's just so tough. You know, there's stories out there about him being sick on certain days during that magical season and him getting IV and trainers telling him not to go out there on the field and play, him ripping the IV out of his arm saying, I'm playing. And we needed a little toughness. And so Cammy gets the nod at third base.
All right. We'll move to the outfield. I'm sorry. Let's go to catcher because that's what the next one on the list. So, Jorge?
Yeah, so catcher, we have Gary Carter of the 1984 Expos, Lance Parrish of the 1982 Tigers, and Bob Boone of the 1988 Angels.
I went with the kid, Gary Carter. He's going to be the battery for this entire series.
Oh, wonderful.
That's a little inside dope for Gabe.
Hey, you have a little information there, Gabe.
We can get Henry.
Okay. The catcher for the Northern California team, we had Ernie Lombardi, the Schnoz from the 1938 Reds, who was at the time considered the slowest athlete in human history. We also have Stephen Vogt. He was a great hitter, though. Stephen Vogt, from the 2015 A's, and Joe Ferguson from the 1979 Dodgers, a guy I rooted for as a kid growing up in L.A. So who's going to catch the big unit in game one?
Yeah, Henry, that's going to be Lombardi. So Stephen Vogt, because, you know, we love the emotional leader that he is, this actually turned out to be a hard choice. And I'm going to be open. I didn't know much about Lombardi at all. I had to go back and research him. But in his best year, he had that 418 weighted on base average. I don't care how slow he is. He's in the lineup.
Yeah. And you know, he talked about that weighted on base average a lot back in 1939. All right. In the outfield, there were nine outfielders who made the team. And I think even the Southern California team would admit that the Northern California team is pretty stacked here. But Jorge, if you wanted to kind of quickly rattle off the nine outfielders who will be on the team and then ask Dave which three he picked.
Yeah. First off, Ted Williams, 1941 Red Sox, the year he hit 406. Tony Gwynn, the 94 Padres, the year hitting 394. Duke Snider from the 54 Dodgers. Christian Yelich from this past season, the 2019 Brewers. Fred Lynn from the 79 Red Sox. Ralph Kiner from the 1949 Pittsburgh Pirates, Dusty Baker from the 1980 Dodgers, George Foster from the 77 Reds, and Bobby Bonds from the 73 Giants.
Dave?
All right, going from left to right. You want me to do all three or just the left fielder?
You can do all three.
Okay. going from left to right. Splendid splinter, Ted Williams in left field. Duke Snider in center field. And pulling up right field is Mr. Padre, Tony Gwynn.
Okay, and let's get to the Northern California list. This is a great list. Joe DiMaggio, Ricky Henderson, Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds, who came in third behind Ricky and DiMaggio, which was interesting up here. Frank Robinson, Lefty O'Doul, who a lot of you folks might not know, but he won two batting titles, including 1929 Phillies, which is the year he is here. Willie McGee, Aaron Judge, currently with the Yankees, Curt Flood, and Harry Heilman from the 1923 Tigers. So which three did you select, Gabe?
Yeah, I'll go from left to right here as well. And just like Doc pointed out earlier in the call, wait to pass judgment until we talk about the DH here. That's an important note. Ricky Henderson plays left field for us. And by the way, like, these weren't especially tough choices once we knew we had the DH. Frank Robinson will play right, and Joe DiMaggio will play center for us.
Okay, well, that's a pretty good outfield right there. We will move on to the designated hitter, and Jorge, your choices.
Well, I guess the choices are pretty much anybody who didn't make the list. So, Dave, who's your DH? I know you were going a little back and forth on this.
Yeah, the DH against Randy is going to be Mark McGwire.
Okay, and I think there's a name that you haven't uttered yet, Gabe, who's going to be the DH for the Northern California team, and who would that be?
Yeah, Barry Bonds is going to be the DH. What I think for a couple of years was the two greatest seasons, offensive seasons in Major League history. So Barry Bonds gets the nod at DH.
Okay, now we're gonna do the batting orders now, and it's just funny. It's funny to me. Wait till you hear the managers who they pick second to bat. It's such a modern thing. You know, these are not bunt them over guys. And I even joked with Gabe about that. You know, this is not the traditional get on base, bunt them over, get them in type of lineup, not on either team. So, Dave, would you mind telling us what your batting order is going to be?
All right. Leading us off for the Southern California All-Stars, Jackie Robinson. Hitting in the two hole, Ted Williams. And I don't think, Gabe, you're allowed to shift in our virtual series, so don't shift the splendid splinter. Number three, Eddie Murray. And I like the switch bat, so, you know, when they want to kind of match up, we can get Eddie on the left side too. Mark McGwire hitting cleanup. Nomar hitting in the five. The Duke Snider hitting in the six. Nolan Arenado hitting seventh. Tony Gwynn, which I don't think he's ever hit eighth in his entire life, is unfortunately. So Tony Gwynn Jr., don't hold it against me. I'm hitting your father eighth. So he's hitting eighth against the unit. And Gary Carter, the kid, is hitting ninth.
Okay. And Gabe, your team is going to be facing Don Drysdale. So we know that whoever the number one hitter is, he's going to get knocked on his butt in the first pitch of this series, because that's what Don Drysdale did. So what is your lineup?
Well, I feel pretty good about Ricky Henderson's confidence in that scenario. I feel like he's going to run himself back off. And you know what? If he gets hit, he's on first base. So Ricky
Third base.
Yeah, maybe third. Maybe third base. Barry Bonds hits second. I like Doc's call with Williams in the two-hole. That's kind of scary up at the top, Robinson and then Ted Williams. Frank Robinson hits third for us. Then Willie Stargell, like I said, that historic season. Joe DiMaggio hits fifth. Joe Morgan comes in behind DiMaggio. Then Ken Caminiti, Troy Tulowitzki, and Lombardi in the nine hole to round it out.
Okay, and before we start analyzing the teams here, just two things. First of all, if you do have a question for any of the managers regarding these teams, use the Q&A button on Zoom, and the only question I have so far is where Gabe got his cap. So we'd like it to be a little more, like it to be a little more relevant to the conversation. The one thing we didn't do, Jorge, if you could read off.
There it is.
If you could read the list of the pitchers, all the pitchers who made the team. And then maybe Gabe could say who he's would like to bat or like to pitch game two and game three.
Yeah, so Don Drysdale, which is the game one starter. We got Walter Johnson from the 1913 Senators, Jim Palmer from the 72 Orioles, Raleigh Fingers from the 81 Brewers, Trevor Hoffman from the 98 Padres, Brett Saberhagen from the 89 Royals, Steven Strasburg from the 17 Nationals, Garrett Cole from the 2019 Astros, Bob Lemon from the 1952 Indians, and Burt Blevin from the 73 Twins.
Okay, Dave, who do you think who's going to pitch game two and game three in your mind?
Game two, there are some tough ones. Obviously, there's a lot of obviously a lot of great choices, but I'm going to go with Walter Johnson and the strikeout numbers, the big body. Really impressive, the workload, and obviously we're just talking about one series, but he's going to start game two, and game three is going to be Jim Palmer. And I think that I kind of toiled between some guys that are more modern day, Garrett Cole being one, but I think that I'll take the 100, you know, sometime later in the game before we get to, you know, Raleigh and Trevor time.
Okay. And, if you end up leading in game seven in the ninth inning, this whole thing might end on a changeup if you pick Trevor Hoffman. I always thought that was funny when there'd be 60,000, 98 playoffs, 60,000 people screaming, stomping their feet. And as he came in with Hell's Bells playing and then changeup, changeup. He was great, though.
That's going to be for Houston, maybe after a little 100 from Garrett, then you get the changeup. So there you go.
All right, the 10 National League pitchers, Randy Johnson, who's going to start game one. We have Tom Seaver from 71 Mets. Randy Johnson's from the 2002 D-backs. You have Dennis Eckersley from the 1992 A's. Now, Eckersley was a starter at one point, but this is a season where he was, I believe, perfect or near perfect in saves. One of his teammates, Dave Stewart from the 90 A's, is on the team. Lefty Gomez, one of the great World Series pitchers ever, 1934 Yankees. Dave Righetti, also a starter and a reliever, but in this case from the 1986 Yankees, when I believe he was still a starter. Or no, he was a reliever by then. C.C. Sabathia from the 2007 Indians. Tug McGraw from the 1972 Mets. Mike Norris from the 1980 A's. And John Wetland, closer of the 1993 Yankees. So, Gabe, after we see big unit in game one, what do you think we're going to see in game two and three?
We're gonna see Tom Seaver in game two. I'm not going to go too deep into Tom. I feel like his numbers and his history speaks for itself. My third choice was C.C. Sabathia. And this one's probably going to be a little bit more controversial given all of the great pitchers on that list. But I had a chance to play with C.C., and against him quite a bit, but with him in 2008. So in that prime period, 2007, 2008, and there wasn't a guy that wanted the ball in a bigger moment. I mean, this is a guy that thrived in the spotlight and put his teammates on his back. So this is very similar to the Ken Caminiti discussion we had earlier. You need that guy that wants the ball in the biggest moment and thrives in that situation, never gets tired. And CC was that guy for me. 07, 08. He was a beast, and CC gets a nod in game three.
Okay, great. Well, Bruce Jenkins, Houston Mitchell, you've heard the teams that you're going to be managing. And the way it's going to work is Bruce and Houston will manage the teams as the computer simulations go on. They'll be making substitutions. And as I understand it, you know, because the fans voted in the 34 guys, the one sort of non-old school thing is that you guys are going to try to get as many of the 34 guys in at some point in the series, one way or the other. So Houston, as the visitor, what do you think of your team?
Oh, it's a great lineup. I think it's a lot of pressure on me now to make the right move so this team can win. Doc has set me up perfectly. My question for Doc would be some advice I need here. Late in the game, we got a lead. Do we bring Ozzy in for defense over Nomar? And the other thing is, Fingers or Hoffman, who would you favor as the closer in among those two? Because those are two great closers.
Houston, I love the questions. And I do think that Nomar's never been defense for as a shortstop, obviously. But you don't get any better than the Wizards. So with the lead, hopefully Nomar took his fourth at bat, then here comes the Wizards, certainly. And for me, kind of Trevor, I played with him. This is a guy that prepares like no other. He's a strike thrower. The changeup is lethal. And understand that these guys haven't seen Trevor. I just can't go outside of Trevor Hoffman. So that's my choice.
That's a great question to ask Gabe as well. I mean, the list of relievers that you have for the ninth inning, Dennis Eckersley, Dave Rigetti, John Wetland, all great, great relievers in their prime. If you had your druthers, who would you like Bruce to close out games with?
You know, I'm going to go with Eck. So I feel like Eck learned from 1988. And, you know, the home run that they give you hit off him made him a better pitcher. And I'm excited to have him closing out games in the ninth.
Okay. Jorge, do you have any questions for your guys?
No, just I guess it's sort of a question, but Dave and I were sending texts back and forth for a little bit here. Third base, I know, was a tough choice for you. If you can kind of just walk through your decision-making on going with Arenado over George Brett, who hit 390 that year.
Well, I think that, yeah, certainly the whole body of work, he hit 390, and I know a lot of people that played for the Royals, namely Buddy Black, who's still one of his good friends, and no one consistently hit the ball harder than George Brett. And there's crazy stories about George. I got a quick story about George Brett where one day in Kansas City, George told his teammates that it was probably 130 on the turf. And he told his teammates, in the spirit of what Gabe was talking about earlier about gamers, he said, I'm not going to have a drink of water the entire game. I'm going to be the first one on the field, the first one into the dugout every single inning. So after we get this win, that beer is going to taste so good. So sure enough, every game, he probably threw out three hits that game. The Royals win, first one on, first one back in the dugout. And sure enough, he was pretty much dehydrated, but got it through the game, led the team to a win, and had that cold beer. But I think that, again, Randy just neutralized the lefty. So you're really tough to get hits, let alone slug, get on base. And George, you know, even in that season where he hit 390, I think he OPS 760 that year against the left-handed pitcher. So, and that's not facing the unit. So I think that, you know, the defense, and also you look at Nolan in that year, I think he had a 1300 OPS against lefties. So, you know, that's a big delta right there. So I just like Nolan, and George would be in there against Seaver.
Gabe, I had a question. I just wanted to know what it was like for you to sit down with a piece of paper, a computer, whatever it is you wrote your lineups with, and wrote down the names DiMaggio, Henderson, Bonds, and Robinson.
I think the most fun I had was going back and digging into Ricky's best year. He had a knack for getting on base, obviously. I had so much fun writing his name at the top of the lineup because of all the things that he can do independent of him getting on base, and the freedom and the flexibility that he might give Bruce as he managed our club. But I had a lot of fun thinking about that outfield. I guess the biggest question was who to have in the outfield, right? Was it going to be Bonds? Or Bonds at the DH position? Did a lot of work and asked a lot of questions about the defensive capabilities of each guy, and came away feeling pretty good about our outfield as a defensive unit. And obviously the top four hitters in the lineup, five hitters in the lineup are pretty impressive.
Yeah, and you know, it's Barry Bonds from 2001, and having covered him, I think I can say that by that point he wasn't the outfielder that he was, you know, say in 19, when we first came up, and, you know, in almost those great Pirate teams of 1992 and three. We have some questions from the fans, and I had one that is really a good question for both of you. And if I could find it, and it was, but basically the question was, how much did you guys use advanced analytics to pick your teams? Maybe Dave, if you want to start with that one.
I'd say it's hard for me to, you know, obviously you can't argue Ted Williams and Duke Snyder, but I think that just kind of looking at, you know, some advanced analytics, and I think that, you know, for example, Tony Gwynn was 1 for 11, I think, against Randy Johnson. But for me, it's kind of looking forward and still betting the fact that he can hit a lefty. He has hit lefties. That's why he's in the lineup, and obviously he's Tony Gwynn. But there was a little bit if you look at the right-handed lineup against Tom Seaver, you know, I'll give Gabe, you know, I had Yelich in left field over the splendid splinter who's going to DH. And so there's a little bit of metrics in that and understanding who can cover more ground a little bit on the margins. But, you know, Houston asked a question earlier about, you know, defensive with Ozzie versus Nomar. Those are metrics. And to piggyback on Gabe's, kind of one thing that was fun for me was looking at the middle for game two, potentially, is Ozzie Smith and Jackie in the middle playing together. That's something that I wish I could go back in time and put those two in the middle of the diamond.
Gabe, how deep did you dive into the numbers?
No, I'm glad you asked the question. It's a fun one to talk about because my inclination is to dive pretty deeply. But for this exercise, I took a surface level dig and then just got really invested in the fun of it. You know, the Hall of Famers that we're talking about, the players that Dave and I played against that are on this list, it was just a lot of fun, and I really wanted to enjoy it. I mean, I think the platoon split thing is fun, and certainly, like, when Dave and I exchanged lineups, it was nice to be able to kind of try to match up and think a little bit more deeply about it. But at the same time, this exercise is built for enjoyment, fun, fans having fun and thinking along with us. And then ultimately, like, there were so many good decisions that it was hard to make a bad one.
Okay. Here's a question here that's going to be like asking you to pick your favorite child. First of all, the first question, this question about analytics was from Richard Uriarte. This question is from somebody named Galen, and I'll start with you, Gabe. You have to pick who is your favorite player in your starting lineup and why.
That's tough. I'll probably just go with Cam Initti here, right? This is a guy that I played with. We played together in Texas in the early 2000s. Watched him play as I was kind of coming of age and as a young professional baseball player. And he was so fierce. Like, that's the word I would use to describe him. I'm sure Doc will tell you. You look in Ken Caminiti's eyes, and it's intimidating. And this is a guy that flashed the leather, had a cannon, played hurt, had pop, knew the game very well, and supported his teammates. So just from a strict favorite perspective, I'll go with Cammy.
Dave?
I think for me, it's a pretty easy one. This man not only played the game with a passion, chip on his shoulder, responsibility, was bigger than the game as far as understanding his legacy. So Jackie Robinson.
Okay. And Dave, there was a question that is sort of somewhat related. And I don't have the person who asked it at the moment, but why did you pick Jackie Robinson to lead off over Tony Gwynn?
I think that in this situation, in this first game, I felt that he had a better chance to get on base versus the unit. And hopefully we'll get the unit after there. And hopefully Tony won't have to face the unit only twice. And I'll take my chance with Jackie facing that big lefty three times.
Okay, Okay.
Tony will move up the lineup against Seaver.
Okay, that question was from Ed. Here's a good question from both of you from Brian. How do you prepare for something like this with different styles and different generations? As Clayton Kershaw said last night, I believe that was on a Dodger Zoom, it's impossible to prove who is better. So how do you wrap your brain around cross generations? And I know an easy answer is that WAR is a statistic that does account for different eras. But aside from kind of looking at WAR, Gabe, how do you kind of like decide which generation to pick from in the teams, or did you just sort of, you know, kind of ignore that and just go with the years?
No, I mean, I think the first thing that we do is we ask ourselves about our own experience and what we witnessed personally, right? So I was thinking about Doc's side of things and Christian Yelich over the course of the last couple of years. Like, as good as any baseball player, particularly against right-handed pitching, that I've seen or studied. And then you go back a little bit further and we talk about a guy like Barry Bonds. And if you pay attention to what he accomplished in a 3-5 year stretch, you know, it's up there with the greatest of all time. We're watching Mike Trout right now by way of example, maybe talking about the greatest player that ever lived. And then when you have to go back and learn about a player like I did with Lombardi, it's really much more about just laying out the numbers on a page and analyzing those numbers relative to, you know, modern day players. So, yeah, I mean, I think this was the funnest part about the exercise, trying to balance what you see on paper and what you witness with your own eyes.
Yeah. And I think that for me, and I know that, you know, last night we had a call and with a, you know, bunch of Dodger fans. And I think that with Clayton, I think that we've heard this many times with the greats, and you're talking, you know, literally less than, and across all industries, less than 100 people, 100 athletes that are called potentially in a conversation of the greatest of all time in their respective sports. So I think that those people, those athletes don't like that conversation because you're talking about them. But I think all of us, and it's 99.9 to the end, as fans of the game, it bridges stories, generations, and that's the only way we can kind of, and it's banter back and forth. So for me, I love to figure out who the best baseball player is, who the best pitcher is, who the best quarterback of all time, do rings matter, all that stuff. That's a part about being a sports fan. So I do think that when I have talked to the greatest of all time, whether you're talking about Michael, LeBron, Kobe, Kerr, Sandy, they don't like that conversation, to be quite honest, which is kind of interesting.
Okay. Well, we are sort of running out of time here. So why don't we just get some last words here from let's start with Jorge. Do you have any last words about this whole thing?
No, I just appreciate Gabe and Dave, you guys doing this, taking the time out. You know, it's a fun exercise, something that makes everyone sort of think and bring baseball into the fold a little bit as we wait here to see if we're going to see real baseball this summer. Just one last question. I thought it was a good one here. Sort of off what Dave and Gabe were just talking about, which one of these guys in your lineup would you want to see in today's game? Is there anybody in particular that you would like to see?
Gabe, you want to go first?
Sure. I mean, DiMaggio for me, right? I would love to see him run around center field. And obviously, like, with the hitting streak, just kind of love – you can't say that it would happen in this kind of modern-day alternate universe, but I'd love to see if it would. It's always interesting because players are now – and this is not really up for debate – bigger, faster, stronger, more athletic, twitchier, have more technology, more tools at their fingertips. It would be really fascinating to watch a guy like Joe DiMaggio, who played in the 50s, come throw his hat in the ring in today's environment and see how he fared.
I think for me, it's Ted Williams. I do want to see that seat in right center field at Fenway Park, see how close he can get, or if he really did hit that dang seat. But, you know, he's one of the best of all time, obviously, so I'd love to see him in modern day.
Okay. Can you guys hear me? I'm getting a little bit of a message saying that my internet is unstable, sort of like me.
Great.
You can hear me? Okay. The interesting thing to me in that question is who would like to be the one who, you know, Jackie Robinson comes back to life, Ted Williams comes back to life, and you guys have to tell him that, well, you know, you really can't slide past the bag, and if you go after the second baseman or the shortstop, you're going to be out, and it'll be a double play. I wouldn't want to be the one to have to tell those guys that.
I don't want Gabe to have to – I want to be in the room when Gabe tells Caminiti he can't do that.
All right. Jorge, I'm sorry. Were there any other questions that you saw from the fans that you thought?
No, that was it. I saw one. It was just a great question to ask because that's something that we always talk about. You know, we're watching The Last Dance, or we were watching The Last Dance, and everyone's arguing, you know, can Jordan's 96 Bulls beat the 17 Warriors and the 86 Celtics and all that stuff. So I think it happens in every sport, as Dave was mentioning earlier. Who's the greatest quarterback of all time? This and that. And, you know, it's fascinating to imagine these guys playing in today's era with the, you know, the on-base stuff and the slugging and the velocity we see nowadays. So I just thought it was a good question asked there by, I don't know who, I have to look it up, but it was a great question asked.
Who else here thought The Last Dance was about Baryshnikov and didn't watch it? Okay, well, anyway. all right, Houston Mitchell, any last words?
I just want to thank Dave and Gabe for doing this a lot, and Dave for setting me up so beautifully. And, you know, if I blow this, I'm sure my newsletter readers will be all over me, and feel free to send me an email telling me what a horrible manager I am. But thanks a lot for setting it up and doing this.
And Bruce.
Well, I want to thank Gabe for making my job easy. My lineup and his are exactly the same, the one I drew up this morning. And at final, I had a toast to the 2004 Red Sox, one of the greatest stories ever told, and both of these guys were part of that team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to point out that, two things. Gabe, first of all, Gabe has my name on the on his Zoom window. That was only, if you're wondering, that was because I ended up sending him my link because he was having a little trouble getting in. I also want to point out, if you look at Gabe's lineup, it's balanced. It's, you know, it's what some managers like to do. I mean, it goes right, left, right, left, right, left, switch, right, right. So, Dave, you're going to have a little bit of trouble doing, fortunately, we don't have the three batter minimum rule for the pitchers. You can swap guys out to your heart's content. I heard rumor that you like to do that sometimes. But anyway, I want to thank all of you, and especially the managers, and just want to say to the fans who are on here and who will be listening to this on podcasts and whatnot, I can absolutely assure you that Gabe Kapler and Dave Roberts were really into this, and there was some sort of regular season gamesmanship going on in here that I might write about at some point. And it's good to know that both teams are in the hands of people who managers who are just, if they get into something, if they're asked to do something, they don't do it half blanked. You know, they are really into it. So thank you guys. And I want to thank everybody for joining the Zoom. And Bruce, when are the games going to be played?
May 26th, we're going to play the whole best of seven in one night. The games do go pretty quickly, so don't think it's going to be settling in for 4 hours.
Okay. I want to thank my co-host, Jorge Castillo, and I hope everybody here has a good afternoon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Cap.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you, Gabe.
Good luck, Houston.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this special Zoom featuring managers Dave Roberts of the Dodgers and Gabe Kapler of the Giants. Bruce Jenkins and Houston Mitchell will simulate this World Series on May 26. Watch out for the results in the San Francisco Chronicle and Los Angeles Times.
The Giant Splash is a production of the San Francisco Chronicle. Podcast producers are King Kaufman and Alan Johnson. The theme song, Batter Up, was written and performed by Lauren Gold and Ray Eastless. Support The Splash and all of our great journalism by signing up for a Chronicle membership at sfchronicle.com/pod.